My name is Lucy and I live in Somerset, and I have lived in London in the past and worked for government, and I even worked in the city for a few years as well. So I've got quite a varied background, and I studied international relations at university. So I've always been interested in politics and economics.
Can you give us an idea of what you're making of where we're going with the economy? Because we keep hearing about something called the Great Reset. Obviously, money is at the heart of so much. Where are we heading, do you think?
Yeah, I think it's about more than money, though. That's the really scary part. I think it's more about social control, and it's more about social engineering. That's actually what is the main agenda, because if they're going to push us into this highly digitized society where everything can be tracked and traced and monitored, we never have any freedom again. So this really is the Orwellian dystopian future that we're facing.
It's funny, isn't it? Because I can remember back in March 2020 thinking, oh gosh, we're going to have a few weeks of this and then it's all going to be over. If you look at the Gompertz curve for COVID by June, even the beginning of June, it looked like it was pretty much over. But it seems now to be turning into something more like the war on terror, this kind of never-ending pandemic. So where do you think we're going with it all?
Well, if you think that 9/11, for example, was not exactly what they tried to say it was, that was the beginning of a war on terror, but it didn't really frighten people quite enough. They then tried the climate change thing, the war on carbon. That didn't produce any bodies. So having a virus, a man-made bioweapon virus, whether it was deliberately released in terms of timing or not, is not obvious. That actually produced some bodies, and that's what absolutely terrified everybody. So that was a far more successful strategy, because when you have people terrified, you can manipulate society in so many different ways.
Okay, hang on, because you just brought the climate in there. Now, there is some talk about the climate somehow being involved with the Great Reset, some sort of environmental thing. So, yeah, so I'll ask you again, whereabouts do you think we're going with this? It does look as if there's going to be an attempt anyway to change somehow the world's financial system, and many people have been throwing their hands up over the last decades saying it's not working, and they're pretty much right, aren't they? The IMF, the World Bank, the global financial system has kind of hit the buffers, really.
Well, the thing is that they are using carbon as an excuse to completely change the way we live, and to tax us, and to basically monitor our use of carbon. But nobody can really be totally 100% certain that it's going to make any difference to climate. So again, it's another thing that can be used as an excuse for controlling us. And so climate is. That has already always been their main agenda. So the thinking is that the UN wasn't getting on with the job quickly enough, which is why the World Economic Forum stepped in and they signed a strategic partnership in June of last year, in 2019, in order to push the sustainable development goals harder, because they weren't getting anywhere just leaving it to the UN. It was too bureaucratic. So that's why the World Economic Forum stepped into the gap and took on.
I mean, I've also seen this film called Planet of the Humans, which is looking at the... Actually, it's saying what's happening is something quite cynical, is that massive amounts of trillions of investment money in pension funds, etc., is being swapped from fossil fuels into other forms of energy which are equally polluting in many ways. So, for example, you know, electric cars, well, you've got potentially polluting and destructive power stations, nuclear power stations, etc., driving that electricity. You've also got biofuel plants which are eating into forests, destroying our forests. So is that what you're talking about? Because that seems to be where this agenda, which was exposed, a fascinating documentary, which is a shame they never showed it on the TV. They don't show a lot of documentaries nowadays, this Planet of the Humans.
Yes, entirely. The whole thing is completely cynical. It's all about doing that, exactly that kind of thing. So I completely agree with you. you know, they're using it as a way of shaking the money tree to get, they managed to get $11 trillion out of the pension funds into their climate change scams, you know, the windmills and all the rest of it, the things that rely on rare earths, the things that rely on child labour, the things that destroy the Atacama Desert, you know, the lithium, the cobalt, you know, whatever it is, these rare earths that get mined, and all the devastation that's caused by all of that. None of that is considered. None of that is matters to these people who are totally cynical. And it was a way of getting their hands on the pension fund money, and they've been very successful about it.
So anyway, so you mentioned also this sort of digitisation and the technocracy. What do you mean by that?
Well, their idea is to actually be able to track and trace every single living thing. They're creating these like libraries of every single biome, whatever it is, and then they will then be able to allocate to us what is our allotted carbon amount that would be allowed to consume or whatever. But in a total 5G, 6G kind of environment, they will know where we go, what we do, who we see, everything about us. And at the moment, that's only picked up by the commercial companies. It's only picked up from an advertising point of view. But what we're seeing with this medical martial law that's being imposed upon us is that government is trying to move in on monitoring us as well. So it's a short step before we are completely under a kind of Chinese-type surveillance system with social credits and facial recognition and all the rest of it.
Do you think this is relating to Brexit at all? Because I've noticed that quite a lot of people who are pro the lockdowns seem to be Remainers, and quite a lot of people are complaining about the strictness of the government's rules to do with COVID are Brexiteers. So do you think there's any link up, or is that just my imagination?
Well, I think that in a way we've been conned over Brexit. I think what happened with Brexit is we thought, some of us who voted for it, that we were voting for freedom and for sovereignty, and that we were leaving the corruption of the European Union and taking our affairs back under our own control. But we've actually jumped out of the frying pan into the globalist fire. So I'm dubious about what Brexit actually really means, because you can't trust the politicians. You can't trust where they're taking us. They tell us such complete lies that you've no idea how they're going to spin something or whatever their agenda is. I mean, we should have taken warning when the Prime Minister prorogued Parliament a year or so ago. We should have taken warning from that they would be completely ruthless in whatever it is they want to achieve.
Now, the Labour Party really seemed to be almost patting Boris on the back. You know, everything whenever he locks something down, they say you should have locked it down harder, that sort of thing. The Conservatives, though, the backbenchers have been pushing back, saying, well, look, you know, we've got to have some sort of economy. We've got to get back to normal. We can't be depriving the whole nation, small businesses, of an income.
Well, basically, because the World Economic Forum agenda is a form of socialism, it's a more sophisticated form of socialism, and you've got Tony Blair's Institute, which is very much pushing for all of this, which is endorsed by William Hague and Jeremy Hunt MP. I mean, you don't need to know any more than that. So all these MPs who are pushing for lockdowns, they're pushing for these things, they're pushing basically for this same agenda, and it's all about destroying us in order to build back better, but build back better in a digital way. That's really what it's all about, and you can see it really clearly playing out in America, where Joe Biden is pushing for 100 days of mask wearing. You know, they're trying to close down more of the economy in America. That it's really, really apparent there, because there's no real pushback here in the UK. In the UK, both sides of the aisle are very much on board, apart from this tiny minority of Tory MPs who are starting to see what's really going on and beginning to slowly wake up. But even so, it's not obvious exactly what they understand.
There's also the whole issue in the UK here of people going along with a lot of this, saying, well, actually, we're fine about wearing masks for a while if it's necessary. Certainly what we're seeing on the BBC is telling us they are necessary. Have you got anything to say to people who are going along with it? What do you think are the main holes in the argument to keep the country locked down indefinitely?
Well, it's the problem with it is that this is all about being driven by the data. It's all about being driven by the science. But what we begin to realise is whose science, which scientists, which data. This is the problem. And what we're seeing is science being used as a tool of propaganda. So the problem is that unlike in the old days when we were part of a democracy and there was actual debate and different scientific point of views could be put forward, now we only are given one set of scientists. And the thing that people should bear in mind is that the SAGE committee, which is the so-called scientific background to the government's decisions, seems to be mostly made up of behavioural scientists. I mean, not even medical scientists. They're not epidemiologists or anything. So why are they needing so many behavioural psychologists on board to try and push this forwards? And there's plenty of scientific evidence that shows that masks they're not actually effective. And if anything, they cause people actual real harm. And so what is the point of something if you're being driven by the data and being driven by the science of not actually looking at things like the Danish study, which showed that masks don't work? In America, they have, I can't remember the name of it, but it's a body which tests masks for use in medical contexts. And they say that these masks are actually harmful. They're actually dangerous. I could try and find you a link to that.
Okay. Finally, what about Trump? Because most people think that it's all over.
No, it's far from over. There's still plenty of options left. It may well come to Congress actually opening up the Electoral College votes, different slates being presented to Congress. Congress may well end up voting on the whole thing. That's on the January the 6th, that particular deadline. So, and he can also invoke his 2018 executive order on foreign interference in elections, waiting for a report from Department of National Intelligence.
So which foreigners have interfered with the American elections, do you think?
It's not entirely obvious. I mean, the obvious one people talk about, the Chinese, but then because the Venezuelans seem to be quite closely implicated in these Dominion voting systems, they could also be part of that. I mean, we're waiting to hear back from the man who runs the National Intelligence Department, Ratcliffe. He's going to deliver a report on this.
I mean, surely the deep state's already decided that Biden is going to be in. And if Trump tries to fight back, you know, he could end up provoking a civil war.
He could, but I don't think it will actually come to civil war. I think that there's a good part of the oath keepers in the military, the people who actually believe. I think it's more of a fight between patriots and globalists. And some even have said that the person Trump is actually fighting is Klaus Schwab, who runs the World Economic Forum. I've seen that on one American website by a very leading top economist who said that. So I think that also Trump is playing a curious game with the vaccination, this warp speed vaccination, which means that there will be a lot of military in place at a certain point in order to help roll out this vaccination. And so that, I think in the summer, he allowed the violence to play out so that, because one of Trump's modus operandi is for seeing is believing. And so he allowed these cities to be torched and to happen so that people could really see just the threat that they were facing with the Democrats. And I don't think that he will allow that to happen necessarily now.
Well, it does look with the Great Reset, the World Economic Forum, the globalists are really going for broke. Do you think there'll be any sort of centres for resistance against that?
Well, this is why my personal opinion so much hinges on Trump. Because he's the one major global leader that is not on board with the World Economic Forum's whole setup. And then here in the UK, it's possible that Nigel Farage's new Reform Party, they also consider the World Economic Forum's stuff to be appalling. But they're not being very open about that. It's not obvious where you can get information on that. But we know that Farage is very much in the Trump camp, and he is going to provide an alternative to both the Labour Party and the Conservatives. And then there's Lawrence Fox, but I don't know to what extent Lawrence Fox actually really understands these bigger issues.
Okay, so if the World Economic Forum do get their way, what kind of world are we going to be in 5 years' time?
Look at China. China is the roadmap. It's all facial recognition. It's all social credits. It's everything monitored, everything tracked and traced. And if you fall foul of the regime, who knows if you can even eat or whatever. You won't be able to travel. You won't be able to go anywhere. It'll be pretty grim. And it's pretty grim now. This is a really good test case with all these lockdowns and the fact that we're being told who we can see, where we can go, what we can do. It'll just be a continuation of that.
Lucy, thanks very much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you, Tony.